Wow, what a story this is. This is really one of those gospel stories that kind of baffles people. Most scholars really haven't a clue what's going on here. It is just, it kind of comes unannounced. And in the flow of the story, it's not obvious why this happens or what happened. Was it a vision? Was it a dream? Was this an actual, did God actually raise up Moses and Elijah to be there with Jesus? Just what's going on? And we simply don't know. It is mystery. But there's some very important truths about Jesus that are revealed in the Transfiguration. As ever, he's got his three closest followers in Peter, James and John. They go with him up the mountain. And then this strange thing happens. Light. Jesus is kind of illuminated from the inside out. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. They weren't just kind of shadowy figures there. They're actually engaged in a conversation with Jesus. It is a mystery. But what we can say is that Moses and Elijah, the two heroes of the faith, representing the law and the prophets. The salvation story that's unfolded under the previous 2,000 years, going way back to Abraham, these two figures tower over and what they represent and what followed from their ministries. Moses and Elijah. Moses, the giver of the law. Moses, who led the people out of Egypt. Who founded the nation. In Elijah, the first prophet. And following in his wake, all the great prophets that came after. And here they are, chatting with Jesus. What would you do? What would I do? We're told what Peter did. He tries to honour these three men. I mean, in a way, it's elevating Jesus to the status of Moses and Elijah when he says, let's build three booths, it's shelters. It's almost like saying, let's have three tributes. One to each of these great men. And so Jesus had seen something in Jesus that he would put him on a par with Moses and with Elijah. But we also see how far Peter still had to go when the voice of God calls out. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud appeared overhead. Overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. It's interesting that Jesus' transfiguration did not fill them with fear. They stood gawping. The appearance of Moses and Elijah had not filled them with fear. Indeed, Peter starts to give a commentary to what's going on, making suggestions about, well, let's do this, and what do you fancy for tea, guys? You know, it's almost at that level that Peter's starting to, certainly not afraid, and yet when the voice of God speaks, when the Father enters into this scene, fear. It is a fearful thing to be in the hands as a living God. And what does the Father say? "This is my beloved." Not Moses. He's not my beloved. Not Elijah. He's not my son. Jesus. Listen to him. Jesus has an exclusive and a unique place as the Son of God. Moses is not beside or equal to Jesus. Elijah is not beside or equal to Jesus. Jesus alone is the one that God says you are to listen to because he's the beloved. A prophet is not the Son. A deliverer is not the Son, only Jesus. There are pressures at work to try to get Christians to compromise that conviction about the unique claims of Jesus Christ. You'll have heard the expressions that all paths lead to God. Friends, no, they don't. Jesus is the way, uniquely, exclusively. Now, is there worth and value? Is there elements of truth in other faiths and other ways? Of course. So can we learn things from Buddhists and Muslims and even pagans? Yes, we can. All sorts of things. But is that the way? No, it isn't. This is my beloved. Listen to him. Don't listen to Moses anymore. Don't listen to Elijah anymore. We could add to that list. Don't listen to Muhammad. Don't listen to the Book of Mormon. Don't look to the watchtower to be the one. It's Jesus. And we need, friends, to keep this focus. We need to be wary of that eroding, that slow creeping compromise. Because basically we're nice people. And we want to be nice to people. We don't upset anybody. And we shouldn't look to upset anybody. Our call should be to be peacemakers. Bringers of good news. But friends, we need to understand where that good news originates from, the wellspring of our faith. And it is Jesus and only Jesus. This is my Son, the beloved. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him. That'd make a good fridge magnet, you know. Something we could look at every day. And the disciples fall to the ground. Elijah and Moses return to wherever they came from. The light fades. But Jesus came and touched them. Fabulous. Peter had missed the point. And yet Jesus doesn't judge him. Doesn't tell him off. He's not cross with him. He comes and he touches him. That's what Jesus will do again. And he will come and touch our lives when our lives have fallen and are broken. When we've failed. When we've let others down. When we've let God down. When we've misunderstood. We've opened our big mouth and put our feet in it. You name it, whenever you get a situation where we feel flat on our faces, what will the Lord Jesus come and do? He will come and touch us. And it'll be a healing touch, a loving touch, a touch that takes us by the hand and lifts us back to our feet. This is a Jesus that we look to. Yes, he is the one of glory and power. He is the one that stands above Moses and Elijah and every other prophet. And yet he is the one who will come and lift us up when we are down. Such is the compassion and love of our God. Saying, get up. Don't be afraid. Hear that this morning. God, through Christ, comes to each one of us to touch us, to lift us up and say, get up. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, this is lovely, they saw no one except Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that place where I just see Jesus. The problem I have, and maybe you do too, is that a lot of the time what I see is me. It's my concerns, my feelings, my worries, my aches and pains, my problem, my seeking after joy or happiness. What a wonderful place to be where we see only Jesus. As I said, this isn't an easy passage. There's a lot going on here that is beyond our human understanding, but it's a passage, I think, full of compassion, full of hope, a passion. And I'm pleased that today we thought about how do we reach out in Jesus' name? What is it we're doing? What is it we need equipping to do? So others might be able to know his compassion, feel his touch, hear his voice, be lifted up from wherever they have fallen down. Jesus is greater than the law and the prophets. He uniquely and exclusively is the Son of God. Listen to him. And when we fall down, as we will, it is Jesus who will reach out and touch us, lift us up and say, "Don't be afraid."